when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good evening. Good morning. Good afternoon to all you people out there, all you Blood River Radio family. I love you people. If it wasn't for you, your donations, I couldn't be where I am today. And where am I? I'm in Pensacola, Florida, at the 54th reunion of the United States Ship Liberty Survivors. And we have probably, this is probably going to be the biggest show we've ever had since Charlottesville. And we have incredible guest. It's been so emotional. I just can't tell you. I've broken down and cried, and this, people probably think I'm nuts. But people, you know the drill here at Blood River Radio. We don't do anything. We don't make a move without a prayer. We have a very special guest tonight. He's going to say the prayer. His name is Matt Scow. You, all you people in Blood River Radio land, you know Matt Scow. He's your friend, our friend. He's the one that made the movie. He made that movie, Sacrificing Liberty. So Matt's going to carry us away with a prayer tonight. Thank you so much, Matt. Go ahead, fella.
Thanks for having me again on your radio program. Let's just allow the Holy Spirit to guide this conversation and lead us in this. Father God.
Oh, he's up.
Father God.
Oh, you're on? Let's see. It's all white. Let's see. It should be.
I can't resist.
It should be going.
Check one. Here, I'll just grab this one. This one. Okay, here we go.
We switch mine.
Hey, it's live, folks. Here we go. Father God, we just ask you to allow the Holy Spirit to guide this conversation tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to share truth, and we love that you made this world, and we are living in a fallen world, but you will come back one day to redeem it. We thank you for the conversation this evening, and we love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We tested it. People, I'm going to have to work on the mic a little bit. So what we got, thank you so much for listening. I'd like to thank the donors that made it possible coming down here. I talked to Mr. Buddy right before the hour. Also talked to Jim Zim. God bless them. Were not for them, and other people like them, Adam, Dennis, and Pam and Virginia, people like that, the guy in Florida who sends cash, thank you so much. You made this happen. Listen, now, right now, we're going to one of the survivors of the United States Ship Liberty. His name is Ernie Gallo. And what a story he has. He was one of the sailors at the United States Ship Liberty when it was attacked June the 8th of 1967. And here he is. Take it away, Mr. Ernie.
Thank you for having me. This is our 54th reunion, as he said. We come together to remember our fallen 34 that were killed in action, and the to do our best to get to let America know what happened to us on June 8th, 1967. When Israel deliberately attacked the USS Liberty, as I said, killing 34, wounding 174. This was during the Six-Day War, the Six-Day Arab-Israeli War. The war started on the 5th of June. We arrived on 8th of June. And when we arrived at the area of our operations, we were under surveillance all morning long by Israeli aircraft. We have 12 incidents where Israeli aircraft, friendly aircraft, reconnoitered our ship. And as I said, the incident was very, very friendly. We had nothing to worry about, as they were our ally. However, all of that changed later on that afternoon at 2 o'clock, when Israeli attack aircraft arrived and started strafing the ship. They used Mirage aircraft, attack aircraft, firing missiles and 20-millimeter cannon. They attempted to, first of all, they took out our two 50-caliber machine guns that was in place for rappel boarders. There's no way we could have possibly did any harm to attacking aircraft going at some fantastic speed. No way possible. But they killed the four sailors that were manning these two 50-caliber machine guns, and they attempted to take out every one of our transmit antennas. Obviously, they did not want us to get a distress call. Not only that, they were jamming our frequencies, especially our distress frequencies, which is against the Geneva Convention. And our radio men realized that when the Jeks were attacking us, they turned off their jamming signal. And it was during these interims that we were finally able to get a mayday to the 6th Fleet. And the USS Saratoga picked up our distress call. That helped us later on, as the Israelis then terminated the attack, but not until we three torpedo boats also arrived, and they attacked us with 40-millimeter cannon and 50-caliber machine guns, strafing the ship, and they dropped five torpedoes in the water. Our captain was, these were dumb torpedoes. They just lined up the ship, dropped the torpedo in the water. Our captain managed to dodge four of them. But the fifth one hit us on our starboard side. And it's just pure miraculous. The hand of God was with us because the torpedo hit us the only place on the ship where we could have still stayed afloat after taking on water. Unfortunately, that area was also the place where 25 of the 34 were killed. Following that, two armed helicopters, I should say two helicopters with armed troops, arrived, and we believed they were going to come aboard ship and kill anybody that was left. However, after a few minutes of hovering and realizing that there was no safe place to land a helicopter, or they suspected that the 6th Fleet planes were to arrive, they decided to break off and leave us. We were still in danger of sinking, as the thin bulkheads that kept the water contained were bulging with the movement of the water. However, they did hold, and we kept an eye on that area through the night. We were literally abandoned by our government, as the 6th Fleet attempted to send planes to us, the USS Saratoga and the USS America, but were recalled by McNamara. And he did not give a reason for the recall. And Admiral Geis of the 6th Fleet determined that our distress call, we did not indicate who was attacking us, because the planes were not marked. They were painted black. And we just didn't know. And neither did the 6th Fleet. So Admiral Geist was beside himself because we were under attack, but yet the White House told him to return his aircraft to the deck. So he decided to ensure that none of the aircraft were nuclear armed. So he made sure that the planes all had conventional weapons and relaunched aircraft, both from the America and the Saratoga, and sent a message back to the White House and what he was telling them what he was doing. McNamara got on the line again and told him to return the aircraft to the deck. And Admiral Geis, under his protocol, challenged the order. And this time President Johnson got on the line and said he didn't care if the ship sunk and all the sailors killed. He didn't want his ally embarrassed. So we didn't see any help until 5:30 the next morning, when we rendezvoused with a couple of ships from the destroyers from the Sixth Fleet. As I said, we were still in danger of sinking, and they hung us out to dry overnight, which implies that Johnson really didn't care if the ship had sunk. And
people, this is Eddie Miller again, Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Thank you so much for hanging out. This is a record-setting interview. This is a record of a radio show, operation that Blood River Radio is bringing you, thanks to the donors. I got another announcement to make as soon as we come back. Be right back, people. Hang on for Ernie Gallo, Liberty Cover.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Well, people, thank you so much for holding on. This is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and I am flying high. I cannot hardly get down. My wife, I talked to her this morning. She said, you're going to have to get your old tail to settle down. I'm just almost like psycho. I'm so excited. But listen, as a added special bonus tonight for you people, if you will tune in tonight to TPC, the Political Cesspool, we're going to be patching people in Blood River Radio. It's going to appear in Pensacola, Florida, with the Liberty Survivors. We're going to be patching into James Edwards' show from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. We're working this tandem together because, listen, it's not about Blood River. It's not about TPC or Liberty News. It's about the sailors. Nothing but the sailors. All about the sailors. And with that, I'm shutting my fat mouth. We're going right back to the hero of the day, Mr. Ernie Gallo. Continue on, sir.
Oh, thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you, sir.
So the next morning, we met up with the two destroyers, and they brought on additional medical help and damage control men. And went to work shoring up those weak bulkheads. I just want to say that it was only the grace of God that the ship did not sink when we took the torpedo. If the torpedo had hit 2 foot forward or 2 foot aft, we would have broken apart and gone down. And I also want to mention that our ship's engineers. God bless them because they got our boilers going and convinced the captain that we were not taking on any more water. So the captain's original order to prepare to abandon ship was canceled. Now, from that point on, we did survive. There were 174 wounded and 34 killed, and we got back to the States, and as things happened, there was a Navy Court of Inquiry, and that would turned out to be a sham. It was contrived by the White House. There was no justice there. The whole purpose was to exonerate the Israelis from the attack, and we were given an order that we were now never allowed to talk about the attack. That we either 10-year imprisonment, $10,000 fine, or worse. So, as a 27-year-old sailor, all of us were pretty darn scared of what this was all about. So, the gag order worked. The White House won the day in the sense that they protected the Israeli-American relationship. And the Israelis got away with killing 34. And some of the 174 that were wounded only lived a few years later and died. Believe me... I have no animosity to folks of the Jewish faith, or even the current Israeli politicians. All we care about is the fact that our government was at fault here, and that they abandoned us, and did things deliberately to ensure that we did not receive justice whatsoever. And the American public was lied to. The American public was told fabrications that the attack was accidental, that the Israelis thought we were an Egyptian ship, and totally bogus information. After a few years, my division officer, James Ennis, wrote a book called Assault on the Liberty, and it was published in 1979. With that book being published, the crew began to realize that we could start talking about this because Mr. Ennis wasn't arrested, and the book was out there into the and bookstores. So we start to contact each other, and we eventually formed the USS Liberty Veterans Association, and that's where we're at right now. We come together as often as we can to have reunions, and as much as we can, we have a yearly memorial service, either at the Navy Memorial in Washington or at Arlington Cemetery. And now this year we're having a reunion here in Pensacola, Florida, because this is the location where a lot of the sailors were trained. And we are very passionate and determined about our fate, because we realize that we have lived through something that was a wrong, that it was an incident where America has been lied to, and that needs to be examined for all it's worth, because it can happen again. And that's where we stand today. We pray for our 34 that were killed, and we just want to remember our fellow sailors, and to let America know we are here, and we're ready to tell the truth. That's about it.
Jay, Jay, my mic is. Did you have my mic muted? Jay, did you have my mic muted? Oh, I am. Okay. My headset. Okay, great, great. People, you just heard Ernie Gallo, a sailor. And I'll just say once again, say he was a survivor, as you well know. He just got through talking. The emotion has just been on. You can't describe the emotion, the anger, the sorrows, the tears. I've been in tears myself. But, you know, we're going to get with. That's what Blood River Radio does. We made a pledge to our audience before we came on the show, before we started in October the 6th of 2018, that we were going to take it to the streets. We're going to take it to universities. We're going to take it, most of all, we're going to take it to the churches, to the streets, most of all to the streets, to churches, to universities, most of all to the streets. And that's what we're doing. But listen, we're going to go to another sailor right now. His name is Phil Torney. As soon as he gets through talking, and or we can go to Joe. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. The sailors are the sailors. But Joe, would you like to say a few words, fella?
Pardon me?
You want to say a few words? And then Phil,
go ahead.
Hop on the horn. Hey, we're going to bring a guy right here. Hop in there, fella. Joe, you're on Liberty News Radio, Blood River Radio, and we're broadcasting live. Tell them a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind. Joe Burkhart, Ben Burke, excuse me. I need my glasses on. He was also a survivor of the United States Ship Liberty. Tell them a little bit about yourself and about your story, Joe.
About what?
About tell them a little bit about yourself and what you went through on the Liberty. Whatever, anything
well,
you want to say.
I was on the Liberty. I'd been on there for a year, just about. I was cryptologist, T-brancher, in charge of the T-branch section. I was right above where the torpedoes hit. I recall the whole thing from A to Z. And I've had PTSD ever since, I think. And then I've tried to get a lot done. I was wounded during that. I took care of my own wound, which never got documented. As a result of that, I couldn't get a Purple Heart. I also had a Navy Bronze Star, and at the presentation ceremony, it was taken away from me, and I was given a Navy Commendation Medal instead, which was a reduction certainly from the Navy Bronze Star. But what's new? And I've complained about it ever since, and I've gotten nowhere with the complaints about that, but I think the biggest worry about the whole thing is it's been so covered up by the government, and they don't want to hear about it. And if I talk to anybody about it, they don't want to do it. And when I got out of the Navy, they told me if I talked about it, I'd be court-martialed, which I thought was a bunch of hooey. I did it anyway. I did newspaper articles and a lot of interviews, which was against the rules that I was given when I got out. But I didn't pay much attention to any of that. I did what I wanted to do pretty much. But I think the government's doing exactly the same thing.
Joe, we got to go to a quick break. People, you've just been listening to Joe Benhart. And say your name, Joe.
Joe Benkert, B-E-N-K-E-R-T.
Hey, believe it or not, Joe knows his name better than I do. So people, so emotional. I'm just going to shut up and say we're going to come right back to Joe, and then we're going to have Phil on in a minute. So hang on your seats. Be right back.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
FBI Director Christopher Wray says the agency is currently investigating about 100 ransomware cases. The White House says President Biden views recent ransomware attacks as a national security concern. He told the Wall Street Journal that many of them are tied to criminals living in Russia. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says recent attacks targeting gas and beef suppliers have raised national security concerns.
New to us over the last couple of weeks, but it has been increasing rapidly around the world over the last several years.
She says President Biden will raise the issue of cybersecurity with Russian President Vladimir Putin when the two meet in Geneva later this month. He'll also meet with Queen Elizabeth, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, and Turkish President Recep Erdogan on his trip to Europe next week. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn, and I'm in the best shape of my life. I love working out hard every day, but I turned 60 this year, and working out can cause some serious aches and pains. I was commiserating with my buddy Jay Schrader, the Super Bowl champion and former Raiders quarterback, about the challenges of staying in great shape for anyone over age 50. Jay said I had to try SonsOfLibertyCBD.com, and it would heal my body, mind, and soul. He was right. No more aches and pains. I feel like $1 million. Finding quality CBD, not easy, but Sons of Liberty CBD, highest quality CBD I've ever seen. CBD is not pot. It won't get you high. It's 100% legal. It's 100% American-made. CBD is mainstream, and it works. For my listeners, SonsOfLibertyCBD.com is offering a discount of 15% off every product if you use the code WAR15 at checkout. Even better, you can combine this discount with your subscription discount for 25% off. Please support veteran-owned, service-disabled, small business, Sons of Liberty, CBD.com. Just say WAR15 to get 25% off.
House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler has issued a statement after the committee questioned former Trump White House counsel Don McGahn. The committee is still continuing to investigate Russian interference in the 2016 election. He said Mr. Gahn was clearly distressed by President Trump's refusal to follow his legal advice again and again. He said McGahn shed new light on several troubling events. He was questioned behind closed doors, but a transcript of the interview should be released by next week. Former President Trump is reacting to the 2-year suspension on his Facebook account after the company's oversight board found he incited violence leading up to the January 6th riot at the Capitol. Trump wrote in a statement that Facebook's decision was an insult to the people who voted for him in the 2020 election. He said they shouldn't be allowed to get away with censoring and silencing. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Oh, good afternoon, Blood River Radio. This is Matt Scow, director of Sacrificing Liberty. Ernie asked me to run this segment here, so I'm going to sit here with my good buddy Phil Turney. Survivor of the Liberty. How you doing, Phil?
Yeah, good afternoon, Phil here. How you doing?
Man, we had an exciting day. We showed Sacrificing Liberty here at the reunion, and I didn't get a chance to talk to you about how was the response from some of the sailors who weren't in the film.
Response?
Yeah, from the guys who weren't actually in the film and saw it for the first time that were on the ship.
Well, I can tell you the response from everybody that has seen the film Sacrificing Liberty is the best thing ever happened to the crew, and especially me.
Mm, yeah.
I never thought in my lifetime, Matt, that this could be taken care of, and you did it along with True News. And I will say, if you want to get the film, go to truenews.com. And
sacrificingliberty.com or through True News, yeah. It's always an honor to watch the film with people who are on the boat, because I'm telling their story, but they lived it. So you're hoping that it's replicated in a way that is honoring to them and that's accurate. What did some of the guys, did they go back in time and relive it a little bit?
Oh yeah, they're still going back in time.
And, yeah.
they can't wait till tomorrow to see part two and part three and part four. So yeah, it's just it's Hollywood quality. You guys did a fantastic job. You did all the work yourself too, didn't you, Matt?
It was hard because it was something I never heard about. So I had to educate myself about what actually was the USS Liberty. I mean, we're not taught about that in school. We should be, you know. The media, I've never saw a special on it. I've never seen anything done like on 60 Minutes or any of these other news shows about the Liberty. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's the power of the Jewish lobby, the ADL, and our Congress is under the thumb of the Zionist state, and it always has been, always will be, it looks like to me, because they won't let us talk about the USS Liberty. They don't want to hear it. If you talk about it, they say it's case closed. I got a letter from the State Department that stated that. Case closed, it was mistaken identity. Well, I said I was a survivor. Well, you don't know what you saw. Mm. That's the stuff you get.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier today. So as I was doing a lot of research, you gave me your treasure trove of VHS tapes. And, I mean, this is how long ago it was first, you know, recorded on a bunch of VHS tapes,
yes.
Stuff that was had, that you had. And going through all those tapes as I was researching, I came across a congressional hearing, it looked like, or it was some kind of symposium they did in the State Department. What can you walk us through that and how that came and the crux of it? They had a bunch of experts, so-called experts, on the panel, but no survivors of the Liberty. Can you walk me through that process and how incensed you were that you didn't have a voice in that whole ordeal?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I'll answer it the best way I can, Matt. I was invited to Washington, D.C. by a friend of mine, Matt Ballack. He's since passed. And the only person else there was from the crew was Joe Lentini.
Mm.
And there were four panelists, all for the Jewish side. Judge A.J. Crystal.
Oh, yeah.
Bankruptcy judge. He's Jewish. Michael Oren. Several others. And James Bamford, the author of Body of Secrets.
And probably the only one who was kind of on your side with telling the truth to a point, right? James Bamford?
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. He was the only one that stood up for us. And they said, we will have a Q&A. So don't worry about it.
And what was the title of this? Was it to clear any questions up or give it the truth? What was the point of it?
The point of it was to help out Israel more than the crew. Because it was so one-sided, it made me throw up.
But what did they try to bill it as? Like to get the truth out, or what was it?
No, there was nothing truthful about it. It was a whitewash.
Yes, but
their own State Department.
How did they phrase it though? Wasn't it like answering questions of the Liberty, or like what was their point about putting it together?
Well, that's another good question. All the people, it was done by a curator there.
Mm, yeah.
And Mark Susser, I believe was
yeah.
his name.
Yeah, yeah.
And he talked more about how good Israel was rather than American sailors that were slaughtered on the high seas. And then he promised we'd have a Q&A. There was one person who got to talk, and he talked for 1 second. Because A.J. Crystal said that he was a friend of Joe Lentini's. And Joe says, we're acquaintances. You're not my friend.
And Joe Crystal also said he was a friend of McGonagall. That
yeah.
was a total lie. And when he gets called out, that was a great part. He did get – Joe Lentini did call him out.
Yeah.
Said, I don't know you. And then stop saying that you know me, you know. But the thing that was crazy, the mic cut off right after that. It was Joe's question and then a lady. Wasn't she related to one of the survivors?
She very well could have been.
Yeah.
I
think she was a sister or someone.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then I saw you, and you were queued up in the back, and they stopped it before you had a chance to ask the question.
Yeah.
If you would have had a chance to ask those guys – a question, what would have it been? Because you never got that opportunity.
Well, since I listened to that whole thing, Matt, for about an hour and 15 minutes, anxious to get to Q&A. It was all for Israel. It was all for Israel, and that's the way it was. It was a mistaken identity. What we thought didn't matter because we didn't know anything.
Mm.
We saw what they did, and they wouldn't give us a chance to speak. They wouldn't give me a chance to speak.
Yeah.
They just cut it off. Well, you saw the...
Yeah. It showed more that they wouldn't let you talk than if they would have let you talk. It spoke more volumes that they wouldn't let the survivors on the panel that actually witnessed what happened. So that, as going through a research, that set me in a course. Well, there's obviously truth that hasn't been, that's being buried, and that they're not allowing to be told.
Yeah.
So as we went through this process, we started uncovering these hidden truths. And one thing we saw was how LBJ was manipulated by, you could say, an Israeli Mossad spy, Matilda Krim. When you saw that in the film, you saw how she had access to the White House and her and Arthur Krim. What did you think about that?
I was disgusted and heartbroken that this crooked-ass government could do that to us. And to be influenced by Mossad people, Ergun people, and Johnson, I think this was set up probably a year in advance. I don't know, Matt. What do you think?
Well, the one thing for sure is we know you guys were told to go off the coast of Abidjan to the Mediterranean days before the Six-Day War. But why would they send you to a place? Because further in the investigation, I found a news report that was given to NBC in Malta while you guys were repairing the ship. And they asked him, what was the purpose of the Liberty in the Mediterranean there? And he said it was to help out with people who needed to escape embassies, to come, like the spy, the most sophisticated spy ship was there to pick up people from the embassies, right? But they sent you there. They must have had a crystal ball, because there was no war going on that you needed to help get people out of embassies, because there was no Six-Day War. That was a dead giveaway.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, it was a dead giveaway. And how are we going to pull into a port? Are you kidding me? I mean, it just ain't going to happen. So.
Yeah, you're talking about like that ship. But what port were you going to go to?
I had to pull up on a sandbar, I guess.
Yeah. So when you start listening to the lies, it's the same lies of 9/11. Like, you have to believe that your lying eyes see a building fall by itself, and you're told that is because of a plane that hit another building. That's why it went down. So they don't even care to really back their lies with a lot of evidence, because you're forced to take it.
You're forced to take it, and the government shoves it down your throat. This is the way it is. And it's been 54 years Tuesday.
Mm.
54 years of lies, deceit, and cold-blooded murder on the high seas by our so-called ally, Israel. There are no ally of anybody except for themselves, period.
Yeah. Well, it looks like we're heading to break, so we'll see what Ernie has up next for you guys in Blood River Radio.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.blood.com. www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these this means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Well, people, welcome back to Blood River Radio. We have another sailor on. His name is Joe Aquinto. Quintero? What's your name, Joe? Oh, excuse me, Tony. What's your first name? What's your whole name?
Quintero.
Tell the people who you are.
Pardon me?
Tell the people who you are right there.
I'm Tony Quintero.
And listen, Tony Quintero, he, as you will, what a surprise. He was a survivor of the United States ship Liberty June the 8th of 2000. Excuse me, 1967. I'm so wound up, people. You can only imagine how emotional it is. But listen, I've talked to Tony. He's one of the greatest guys. He's so friendly and outgoing. And you'd be surprised how some of these sailors do not want to come on. But Tony has agreed to come on and tell his story to the world. So, Tony, if you will, tell the people where you're from. Tell them a little bit about yourself. Maybe when you joined the Navy. Anything you want to tell them, and tell them about your experience on the United States ship Liberty that fateful day. Take it away, Tony.
Okay, I'm Tony Quintero. I was born in 1943. I joined the Navy. And I was on the USS Liberty from 64 to 89. I retired as an E-4. The 12 ounce cans got me in trouble, but anyway, I was on the Liberty, and it was you know horrifying. But I don't know, for some reason or other, things happen and they have to happen. And excuse me, it gets kind of touchy to talk about this, but anyway, I was on the ship, and and of course we were attacked, and I was the bosun mate with a seaman on a gun mount on 04 level off the bridge, and excuse me, it's hard.
Take your time. Don't worry, Tony. Take your time. Take your time, sir. Okay. Tony's a great guy. You will not believe how nice he is. I met him yesterday morning at breakfast, and we bonded instantly. He's an old Kansas City boy. He played football and baseball, all the normal sports, and then he went into the Navy. But bear with him, people. I was so emotional, I broke down and cried today, cried my eyes out. So you can imagine what it's like for him. He was a survivor from United States ship Liberty. So go ahead, Tony. Go ahead. Continue on, sir.
Okay. Of course, we were attacked, and I was in the filter room when I heard the first straight go by. The people in on the forecastle, the gun mounts, they were all killed. And then they went after us. But for some reason or other, I just survived, and me and my seaman, he got a shrapnel in his shoulder. I didn't get nothing. I told him, I seen the jet coming at us, and I told him to jump. And of course, before that, we fired the machine gun, and we survived, and we jumped out of the tub, and I told him, I says, go forward, and I'll meet you up there. Well, he didn't make it, and neither did I, because I had this one jet. He was coming straight at me. I was the only one, you might say, on the open deck. Well, I ran my booty off, and I just ran, and I was going down the ladder, and I seen the jet coming in. As he was coming down, I seen him coming down, turning down, and he aimed his machine gun or whatever, his jet, right at me, and I jumped, and I missed being killed. For some reason or other, I don't know. I guess I just, all I can say is I just was meant to go, because I'm here to tell you, I survived. But anyway, I went to the forecastle, finally went in, opened the hatch, got in, and everybody else was scared. I said, don't worry about it. I says, you know, we'll get through this. I just said that. It just come out. Excuse me.
Take your time, Tony. You're fine, sir. You're fine.
I was so full of adrenaline. You know, we all had to pick up bodies and body parts. And I see my brother. There were three of us. The Quinteros, which my brother and I, the Kellys, and the O'Reilly brothers. The Kellys were snipes. The Kelly brothers, they were deck apes. You might say deck apes. That's a slang for it. Bosun mates, you might say. But anyway, we went. Sorry, people. I'm really confused right now. I'm trying to think of what I want to say, but I as I'm getting older, I forget. But anyway, all I can say is I survived, and I seen the captain. He was shot in the knee, and he cut his pant leg off so the medics could attend to his wounds. I seen other guys who were killed. There's one guy on the bridge, Brownie. He was a yeoman. He was smart. He got wounded, and they took him aside. Brownie, he got wounded, but he got shot in the, I forget where he got shot in, but they laid him down, and when he come out, he was in a puddle of blood.
You know, Tony, we have two of his brothers here, Tony. Mr. Brownie, you mentioned it was killed. We have two of his brothers here, or is there three? Or I think there's two of his brothers here.
I think it's two brothers, and I told him about Francis, because we always call him Brownie. But anyway, he was a hell of a guy. I recall one time we were out, I think it was in South Africa, Abidjan. We got loaded. And he says, I can't go down this ladder. I says, get on my back. I'll take you down. So I did. He got on my back. I took him down. And I said, okay, Brownie, hit the rack. And after that, of course, the day after, it was a blessing. I was still alive.
You're a blessing to us, Tony. You're a wonderful guy. I bonded with you immediately yesterday. I wouldn't trade you for all the tension. You're a national treasure, Tony. You really are. You know, I don't want to interrupt your story at all, but before we forget, I was learned today that the doctor, tell them about the doctor and what he did with the life jacket, Tony.
Dr. Kiefer, I remember, he was the only, of course, a surgeon. And, you know, aboard ship, every ship has a spy on the ship. I don't know why, but to spy on each individual. And for some reason or other, this Dr. Kiefer, everybody on the ship knew he was nuts. Of course or not. I knew he wasn't nuts, but he was smart. He was the spy on the ship. Unbelievable. You could not believe it. But anyway, he was the spy on the ship. Okay, we took several. I took one guy, Gary Blanchard. He was in our bosun mate locker. and he got the bomb went through one door out the other, and he was full of shrapnel. And I come in there with two other seamen, and I says, "Don't worry, Gary, we'll take care of you." So we took him out, took him below spaces to the mess decks, which was the, you might say, the infirmary. So the doctor told me, says, "If we don't operate, you might die. If we operate, you might die." Well, they cut him from his neck all the way down, almost down to his groin. And they took out his shrapnel. And when the doctor stitched him up, the last stitch, he died.
Well, you know, Tony, the most amazing thing to me is the doctor was, his guts were about to fall out. And we were told today in the movie, a True News movie, they showed, Matt Scow came down showing the movie from True News. He just came in from St. Petersburg, Russia, to be with us. Thank God for Matt. But the doctor was wounded so severely, he had to put his life jacket on. And the captain, Captain McGonagall? Yes, sir.
William McGonagall.
William. Well, he said he said the doctor needs to get his life jacket off because they're scaring the men. But he said he told the captain he had to have the life jacket on to hold his guts in. This is a doctor having to hold his guts in with a life jacket, and he's continuing. How long was the doctor on his feet, Tony?
God, I'm guessing. I would say late 30s, early 40s. I'm guessing.
How many hours did he have to operate after he was wounded himself?
Oh gosh, I have no idea. I would say probably over 8 hours.
God Almighty,
he was over 8 hours, and then
that's incredible.
We had one seaman who got shot in the head. His brains were kind of hanging out on that bullet hole. But he was from, I think, Arizona, and as far as I know, he's still alive. He survived. I haven't seen him, of course, in over 50 years, and I don't know. But that's all I know about him.
Well, I'll tell you, another thing I don't want to forget. Tony, were you around? I know I was talking to Phil Torney, and he said that some of the sailors were trapped below the deck, and I think Phil and some other sailors had to come and undo the hatch that goes down to the deck because they were trapped. They couldn't get out. And the captain was wanting to seal all the airtight compartments to try to keep them from sinking. But they saved those sailors' lives. They were trapped down there. Were you around there when they had to pull the sailors up, Tony?
Yes, I was. I can recall they were banging on the hatch. They opened the hatch and they pulled out. One guy, I cannot think of his name, he had two guys, one on his arm, one on his shoulder. He carried out two guys. He was a pretty big boy. He carried them out, and then for some reason or other, I don't know, they had to close the hatch or else we were all going to die. But they closed the hatch, and we survived, and of course we had some good shoremen, snipes, engineers, in other words. But they were good. It would, like I said, they shored up the ship, bulkheads, walls, whatever, but we survived.
You know, Tony, what impressed me, I was a medic myself, and a medic. We, in the Army, we call them medics. Navy, they call them corpsmen. A corpsman was so overloaded, he had to put in a tracheostomy. So people, listen, we'll be right back. We're transitioning to the second hour. You're listening to Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is exclusively bringing you this great operation from the 54th Annual Liberty Survivors Reunion. Be right back after this big commercial. More in the second hour.